Psalm 105, but we're speaking on the subject all about prayer. And we trace it in Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Tonight, I want us to consider that subject in the life of children. Why I'm reading to you from Psalm 105 is that on so many occasions, something of history that occurred earlier in the Old Testament will be commented on, will be elaborated upon in another book of the Bible. And here is an example of the life of Joseph. And so let's hear it in 105, starting at verse 16. He called for a famine on the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them. Joseph was sold for a servant. This is something we never would have known. His feet, they hurt the fetters. He was laid in chains of iron. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house, and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure, and teach his elders wisdom. You see this little gem? Here is a commentary on the history of Joseph. And now, let's read again in Genesis about Joseph. Because his life is filled with surprises. And the first one I want to tell you in a moment. Let's look in chapter 37, verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land of his father's sojourning in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And he was a lad with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought the evil report of them unto their father. Notice it first of all, that he did no evil, and when his brothers did evil, he came and told his father. Of course they weren't hating, but if you had a brother or a sister and did something wrong, and then when he reported it to your parents, you would hate them for it. And they hated Joseph. Now, look at verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren. And they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheep arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves came round about and made obeisance to my sheep. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Verse 9. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren. And he said, behold, I have dreamed yet a dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father kept the saying in his mind. Now look at verse 20. He goes to find out about his brethren, and they devise a plan against him. They say in verse 20, come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into one of the pits, and we will say, an evil beast hath devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dream. Now, this is so interesting. Here, his brethren have heard of his dream, and they say, We will kill him, and then we will see what comes of his dream. Let's anticipate. Turn over to chapter 42. 42. What has happened is that a famine has come upon Egypt. I'll read you that in Psalm 105. God called for a famine, and this famine comes upon Egypt, and it happens that his own brothers who sold him into Egypt are now in a land that is consumed with famine. And they go down to Egypt to get something to eat. And when they went down, verse 7, 42:7, Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them. But he made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly with them. And he said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dream which he dreamed of them. Look at verse 6. His brethren come, and they bowed down themselves to him with their faces to the earth. Now what did this dream say happened? It said that the sun and moon, that would be his father and his mother, and 11 stars came and bowed down before him. And his father was indignant about it. Shall your father and mother come and bow down to you? And then his brethren hated him and said, Well, we'll kill him. And then we'll see what happens to his dream. But please notice that while they said one thing and wanted to kill him, you see that his dream was fulfilled. They came true. All right. I'll stop reading there for the moment and tell you what is so perplexing about this man. If you ask me which of the three, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, was the most inferior, I would tell you Jacob. Read his life, and you'll see that he is not to be compared with Isaac, who instead of grasping the thing, was quite prepared to lay his life down for his father, the offering, the burnt offering. And if you think about Abraham, the friend of God, you think how noble he was. But if you mention Jacob, he is an inferior man. He is a liar. He is a cheat. He is a supplanter. His life is filled with things that keep him afraid. When he looked around, he wondered if his brother Esau is there to kill him. He wondered if Laban, his uncle, is going to kill him. Why? Because his life is one of turmoil. And yet, this is what I told you. And it's so remarkable. This man, Jacob's life, is constantly filled with making pillars and altars and vows and prayers. Now, I can show you prayers in the life of Abraham, in the life of Isaac, and in the life of Jacob, but I took 3 days reading and looking carefully in the book of Genesis, and then in all the other references in the Old and New Testament having to do with Joseph, and I have yet to find one recorded reference to his ever offering prayer to God. Who can imagine such a thing? I suppose that he would constantly be praying unto God. Now, you want a Christmas present? Choose any Christmas present that is within reason, and if you can show me a place where Joseph has a recorded prayer to God, I will buy you that Christmas present. It's worth it. I've looked, and I could have overlooked it. I looked and found Abraham's prayer, and Isaac's prayer, and Jacob's prayer. When I looked, I said, well, maybe somewhere farther along, as in the Psalm, a recorded prayer of Joseph would be there. No prayer that I could find. But isn't that remarkable? Because if I ask you, who is more spiritual than Joseph, Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, you say, no, they were no more spiritual than he. Who had closer communion with God? You say, as I look at his life was as close to God. He was as great a moral example as you can find in the Old Testament. And yet, again, this is what you find. That God appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, but he never appeared to Joseph. All right. I was thinking, what can this be? What's the interpretation of this? Think for a moment, and perhaps this will help you. It speaks of Isaac, his father, as going into the field to meditate. Meditation is one thing, and supplication is another. When you pray to God, you say, God, listen to me. But when you meditate, you say, God, speak to me. And in the case of Joseph, what God has recorded are his meditations, his communion with God, his knowing the mind of God, his being gifted of God, his ability to interpret the history of God, whereas others are unable. But Joseph could. Keep that in mind, because remember, supplication is asking God to speak to you. Just as when little Samuel is instructed by Eli, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Now, this is asking God to speak to you. Whereas, when David and others go into the presence of God, they say, oh God, hear my voice. God, hear me when I speak to you. But in other instances, we go into the presence of God, and in little Samuel will talk, we say, God, speak to me. And that is the kind of man that shows his wife. He was one that was in the presence of God, and he wanted to hear the voice of God. It's like this. If I told you about Mary, the sister of Martha, when you find her, where is she always found? You say, at the feet of Jesus, and she's listening to his word. Is she ever praying or asking for anything? You say no. She's always in his presence, wanting to hear his voice. And that's the kind of man that Joseph is, and I wonder if God is emphasizing it by not recording for it, even though I am perfectly certain that he prayed to God every day of his life, and yet God is not recorded in his prayers. And for that reason, I will show you a verse of scripture that is most illuminating. Turn to John chapter 11, because our Savior at the end of his life tells us something that we have never known unless he told us on this occasion. Lazarus has been dead 4 days, and our Savior has come to raise him from the dead. And he's about to have the stone that's covering the mouth of the tomb removed. And Martha says, Lord, no, no. And the Savior says to it, look at verse 40. Jesus said unto her, said I not to thee, that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. And I knew that you heard me, but you hear me always. But because of the multitude that standeth around, I said it, that they may believe that I did send me. Look, the Lord Jesus had already offered up a prayer to his Father, a silent prayer, nobody knew. And he says, I know that you always hear me. Did you know that according to this, before every miracle Christ performed, he always prayed to his Father concerning that miracle? You say no. And so I've read you miracles week after week, and yet there was no prayer before this miracle took place. And yet our Savior said, there was a prayer. And so there are spoken prayers, there's prayers in the heart. And our Savior, thank God, in John 12, he prays, and in the Garden of Gethsemane, and in John 17, all of those prayers. And his whole life was filled with prayers that I had never known that before the performance of miracles he prayed. But now we know. And I want you to see a few scriptures concerning not prayer to God, not supplication, saying, God, hear me, but men saying to God, God, let me hear you. And these are in the Psalms. Turn to Psalm 77. 77. I'll give you just these references in the Psalms. And look at verse 6. So it's Asaph, and he says, I call to remember my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit maketh diligent search. Notice, here is communion, a time with God, but he's communing with his own heart. Now turn to Psalm 104. And look at verse 34. Now this is beautiful. Let my meditation be sweet unto him. I will rejoice in the Lord. You see? You are thinking on the Lord, you are meditating on the Lord, and you are praying that your meditation shall be sweet to the Lord. Look at Psalm 119 now. 119. First at verse 15. I will meditate on thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. He's not asking God for anything. He's just meditating upon the precepts, the teachings of the Word of God. Look at verse 48. I will lift up my hands also unto thy commandments which I have loved, and I will meditate on thy statutes. Here again, he's not praying to God. He's just thinking of God's statutes. Now listen. When you pray, you speak to God. But when you read the Bible, it is God speaking to you. And here is what Thomas wants. He says, I will meditate on thy statutes. Now, look at verse 78. Let the proud be put to shame, for they have overthrown me wrongfully. But I will meditate on thy precepts. I might have thought of crying out to God to render vengeance to those that have mistreated me. But he simply says, I will meditate on thy precepts. Now turn to 97. 97. He says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Instead of praying to God all day, he is meditating on the Word of God, and God is speaking to him all day. And look at verse 148. Mine eyes anticipated the night watches, that I might meditate on thy word. And so some people are those that cry unto God and ask God for explanation, ask God for sick people, for the needy people. There are some who are saying, oh God, hear my voice. And then there are others who simply go into the presence of God. And rather than do ever so much talking to God and asking God for so many things, they simply read the Word of God and they meditate on His Word. And they pray to God, set my meditation, you see. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, that it be acceptable in thy sight, O God. So this is the kind of man that Joseph was, according to how he set forth in the scripture, not one that does so much talking to God, but he's one who meditates upon God. Now, I know that God talked to him for this reason. God talked to him because he talked to him in dreams. You say, well, what are all the scriptures he can meditate on? Well, Moses haven't been born yet, and we don't have David and the Psalms, and we don't have Isaiah, we don't have those scriptures. And so they had communion with God, and faith of God, from God his forefathers had known of God. Abraham could tell Isaac much about God, and Isaac could tell Jacob much about God, and Jacob could tell Joseph much about God. And all of these things that were told these sons, and even though Jacob was a charlatan, still at the same time, these things were meaningful to Jacob, and they became meaningful to his son Joseph. Now, here is another remarkable thing, and it will encourage us. If you see a godly father and mother who live exemplary lives their whole life long before their children, and their children turn out to be upright, faithful, godly individuals, does that surprise you? You say no. They have that example. Let me tell you about Joseph's son. His father was a deceiver, a liar, a hypocrite, and his mother was a liar and an idolater. Who could believe such a thing? Before Rachel left home with Jacob to go back to the land of Jacob, she stole her father's gods, and she lied to her father when he was searching to find those gods. And concerning Jacob, when he came to steal his father's birthright, the father said, "Are you my true son, Esau?" "No, I'm your son." He said, "Come and give me a kiss." And he came and kissed his father. You see, that's what his father was. He was a deceitful liar, and his mother was a liar and an idolater, and you get the loveliest character in the whole of the Old Testament coming forth. Who could believe such a thing? And also, his outlook on life was one that could only come from communion and meditation with God, because Jacob, when he considered what was happening to him, I told you again and again, he said, "All these things are against me." He said, when his children told him about Simeon being bound, "You're going to bring down my gray hairs to the grave." He was always complaining. But I want to show you two instances now about the disposition of Jacob. Turn now to chapter 42, listen to his father now, verse 36, "And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children, Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and he will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me." Now, let me show you what Joseph says. Turn to chapter 45. Remember, his brethren wanted to kill him. And then they said, "Why kill him? Let's sell him." And so they sold him. And now look at verse 4. His brethren had come down to him, and he knows them, but they don't know him. And now he reveals himself to him. And in verse 4 it says, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother whom you sold into Egypt. And now be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life." Isn't this remarkable? Now, turn to chapter 50. His brothers are afraid now because Jacob has died, and they think that Joseph is going to take vengeance on them now that their father is dead. And so they make up this story. Look at verse 17. They said, now, our father said before he died, in verse 17, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray you now, the transgression of thy brethren and their sin, for that they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spoke unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we are thy servants, just like we dreamed. Verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? And as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. One who had suffered the adversity, Joseph, for year after year, and yet has not been overcome with depression. One who is not fainting, he must have been communing with God. And he did commune with God. God told him what was going to happen. At times, God told him through his dream, his personal dream. And at times, God told him things that were going to happen through the dreams of others. Now, let me mention for a moment the naivete of Joseph. He was alarmingly quiet, candid. He was just speaking the truth, whereas how to think of what effect it was going to have on the hearts of others. But in his instance, he didn't. Think of this now. You have your brothers, and you're going to tell them, here's a dream, and even his brothers could interpret this dream. He said, I have a sheep, and you have sheep, and your sheep came over and bowed down to my sheep. I think I could interpret that dream. And he went and told it to his brothers. I might have said to myself, I see. So God is going to exalt me above my brothers. But then, he had this dream and he said, I saw the sun and the moon and 11 stars, and they came and did obeisance to me. They fell down before me. Now, certainly, he knows the effect this is going to have upon his father and mother, but he just ingenuously tells me as if he did not understand why they would not want to hear and why he should not tell them that dream. Like this. The butler and the baker have had dreams, and the butler asked for an interpretation, and Joseph said, yes, I can interpret that dream. He said, 3 days you're going to be restored. All will be well. You will give the cup and the Pharaoh will attend again. And the butler said, well, I have a dream too. And he said to the butler, 3 days, and your head is going to be taken off. You're going to be put to death. I think I would have held back in telling people that. But Joseph said, no, this is a dream from God, and I'm simply telling you this dream from God. So, here he is. If he has dreams himself, he tells them. If a butler has a dream, if a baker has a dream, he tells it. And if Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, has a dream, he comes and tells him as well. He is one who simply, ingenuously, tells you the truth of God. He says, now, God has told you what's going to happen. He's shown you that a famine is going to come upon the land. But first you will have 7 years of plenty. So, think on that. The remarkable man that Joseph is, and yet, you never read of him praying to God, and you never read of his presuming to occupy an exalted position, because he is so naive that when he tells Pharaoh about the famine that's going to come over Egypt, he says, now this is what you should do. You should find some person that is competent, that can take over the affairs of Egypt, because this famine is coming. Now, had I told him that, I would have been thinking of myself. But I do not know if he was thinking of himself. But as soon as he told Pharaoh that, Pharaoh said, you are the man. You see how remarkable he is? And he had this great ability, and a famine is coming over the greatest nation on earth, and he single-handedly arranges everything so that when the famine comes, all will be well. A remarkable man. Now, I would have thought that he would want to be in this exalted position, that he would want to glory in himself, but he does not. And think now, if I ask you, whom did Abraham bless? You say, Abraham blessed Isaac. And whom did Isaac bless? You say, he blessed Jacob and Esau. And whom did Joseph bless? He blessed nobody. Look, turn to chapter 48. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that one said to Joseph, Behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And then he strengthened himself, and he sits up upon the bed, and he talks about the past a little bit. And now, look at verse 9. And Joseph said unto his father, These are my sons whom God has given me here. And he said, Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. And now, look at verse 15. And he blessed Joseph and said, But now in blessing Joseph, he's blessing his children, that God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God who has fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. And so he blesses the lads. And then, look in verse chapter 49, Jacob called unto his sons, and then he blesses his sons as well. And you will look in vain for Joseph ever to pronounce another blessing upon his sons Manasseh and Ephraim. He was quite prepared to let God talk to him, show him, arrange his life, and to simply listen to God and know God's will, whatever happens. I'll show you this verse in Genesis 18. Turn there, because this is the likeness between son and great-grandfather. Look at verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I have known him, to the end that he may command his children and his household after them, that they may keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, to the end that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And so God sees the nobility in Abraham, and he says, I'm not going to hide anything from Abraham, and I know what Abraham is going to do for his children. And God could look upon the heart of Joseph and say, I know Joseph as well, and I know the man of God he is, and that he will do everything to bring upon his children the righteous promises and blessings that I have made to him. Now, that's all we have time for. Let's pray. Now, Father, we thank you that you have so many men of God that were men of prayer. Remember that you speak of two. So Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet would not my heart be unto this people. Moses and Samuel, men of prayer. And yet, Father, you could speak of Joseph, one who spoke not so much to thee, but one who listened constantly to thee, who fellowshiped with thee. We thank you for his integrity. We thank you for his godlikeness, even though his father and mother were poor examples. So let us look upon him, and let us use no excuses because of our failure to be like my son, the Lord Jesus. Let us be like Joseph. Let us hear thy voice, but then at the same time, hear our voice as well, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.